If you would turn in your pew Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, you'll find it page 968. We're continuing our studies in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, and we're going to read from verse 11. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen, and may God bless this reading from his word.
For the last few weeks, I have been unwell. It's been nothing serious, but a virus attacked all of my joints, which was very painful. And if I'm honest, I've been a bit vulnerable here, a bit scary. And it gave me a new appreciation of people who do have rheumatoid and pains in their joints. It is a terrible thing. But I went to the doctor. The doctor took blood. He said, there's no rheumatoid or anything like that. And yes, your blood says you were ill. It was a virus. And I went, yes. You know, but I took then some time to rest. And as I rested, I watched a few movies and I lay down and I relaxed. And I watched one movie called The Fast and the Furious 7. Maybe a movie that's not to everyone's taste, but actually it was quite fun. But one of the big things about this movie was that before it had finished production, one of the lead actors, Paul Walker, died in a car crash. You will remember it from the news. And at the end of the movie, there is this whole emotional farewell to Paul Walker. He was about 5 years older than I am now, and his only daughter was 15 at the time of his death. As with many things that we see, this made me think about myself and about what if I was to die young? How would I be remembered? What legacy would I leave behind? What impact would I have had on the world? You know, to be fair, I wasn't feeling well, so, you know, I was all emotional and contemplative. There was even a tear, you know, as I was thinking about family and all that. Then add to this the fact that I also knew that I was going to be soon preaching in Salt and Light. So as I was challenged and thought this whole thing through, I concluded that I want to be known of as a disciple of Jesus. That's it. But how does that happen? Well, in this passage, it tells us that we can make an impact in the world as we are salt and light in the world. And as I am salt and light in the world, I believe I can then make an impact. So I asked myself these difficult questions and challenging questions. Am I salt and light in the world? And how salty and bright am I? As part of the Sermon on the Mount, this part that we are going to look at this morning is one of the most challenging passages of Scripture. And it should cause us to stop and to think. These verses about salt and light are some of the most used and quoted verses in the Bible. I know I use them loads in my sermons. And the danger of overfamiliarity is that they lose the impact and their challenge. That feeling of a kick in the guts when you know that you're not living up to the standard they set. In these verses, Jesus was talking to his disciples. This includes us. Jesus is calling us to be salt and light. Jesus said in verse 13 of chapter 5, "You are the salt of the earth." Verse 14, "You are the light of the world." Salt and light have a purpose. They are not passive, but active. Wherever they are found, they make an impact. Likewise, we are to be a people who make an impact of the world, not being passive, but being active. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's simple. The impact of our lives should be to bring glory to God in this world. This is what Jesus expects. Christians are called to distinctive living when compared to the rest of the world. And we do this by being salt and light. Over the past couple of weeks, we have looked at how we as Christians are to be distinct. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Matthew chapter 4, and we saw the message of Jesus from the start of his ministry was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Calling us to turn away from lives which reject God to lives which live for God. Therefore, our lives should be distinctly different because of our repentance. When Jesus called the fishermen in chapter 4, he said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The call to the disciples is not just to believe in Jesus, like we are to have this kind of intellectual knowledge of Jesus, his life and his sacrifice. It is so much more. It is to follow Jesus, to join him in his mission of calling others to repent and follow him. Jesus' last words, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you to the very end of the age." Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is with us always, and that helps us to live these distinct lives, which we saw last week at the start of the Sermon on the Mount. These lives that we are supposed to live are countercultural. In the Beatitudes, we saw the distinctiveness of disciples. Poverty of spirit, mourning, meekness, hunger and thirst after righteousness, mercy, purity, peacemakers, suffering. We all need to see just how countercultural these are today. None of these fit into today's culture. Therefore, we can assume that being distinctive will be difficult. It's interesting. Jesus tells the disciples these 8 Beatitudes. Then he says in verse 11, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." This is not a beatitude. It is a warning of what will happen when you live as a follower of Jesus, how your distinct life will attract difficulty. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The fact is, as we live distinct lives, being salt and light, we don't do it for a reward on earth, although we try to bring good on earth, yes, but we do it looking to the goal of heaven. Verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." When we live in a way and bring a message that the world will not naturally like, we could get a hard time for it. We need to remember that the prophets, Jesus, the disciples, the early Christians, lived through it also because they lived distinct lives which brought light to a dark world. As disciples, we, like Jesus, must be distinct. He was distinct because he was the light of the world. In John, we read Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." As the light of the world, Jesus shone into darkness, and he shows us and he shows the world our true selves. "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In Proverbs, we read, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end leads to death." As the light of the world, Jesus shows us the way. Jesus' life points to the cross, our need of the cross to get to heaven. Isaiah 53 says, We all like sheep have gone astray, turned each one to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. 1 Peter 3, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus also said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the good news. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus came to save us from darkness and hell to the wonder of heaven. And we have the honor of sharing in his mission. Jesus passed on the mission to us. He said in John 9, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As followers of Jesus, he says to us today, follow me. Join my mission. You are the light of the world. And he commands us in verse 16 of chapter 5, he commands us, let your light shine before men. As the light of the world, we show the way to God through Jesus. The fact is that without the light that we bring, people in darkness will not find the way. We show them the way to Jesus as we bring the good news of Jesus. Living the Beatitudes, the fruit of the Spirit, teaching about Jesus, telling of the work of the Lord in our lives. Showing it through our good works, through our love. We show them, we show the world their need of Jesus. We point them to the cross and the power of the cross to get them to heaven, to get them to God. In this world, without light, without the sun, there's no life. It is true spiritually. Without the light of the Son of God, Jesus, there is no life. Disciples are distinctive to the rest of the world because they are bringers of light, so they live differently. It is only as we live as the light of the world that we can do as verse 13 says. We can be the salt of the earth. Simply, salt makes things better. Salt brings flavor and stops decay. The basic thought here is that as disciples of Jesus, we are to make the world a better place. We bring the hope of Jesus and we fight to stop social and moral decay. As we help the poor, suffering. Basically, as we fulfill what Jesus said in Matthew 25, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Again, as we show the way to Jesus, we bring the good news of Jesus. Living the Beatitudes, the fruit of the Spirit, teaching about Jesus and his work, showing it through our good works, through our love. We show the world their need of Jesus. We point them to the cross, to the power of the cross. We point them to God. This is how we make the world a better place. It is vital to the well-being of the world that we are the salt of the earth. But if we are not being the light, this will not happen. Jesus uses these two metaphors of salt and light. And he said these two things in verse 13, 14, 15. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. There are different ways to interpret these verses, and I'm just going to mention one. And that is that these things cannot happen. Pure salt cannot become tasteless. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do you light a lamp and put it under a bowl. They cannot happen. They do not happen. In the same way, it is true for Christians, of disciples. They are the salt of the earth. They make the world better. And they cannot be tasteless. They are the light of the world. They show the way to God, and it cannot be hidden. There is no option for passiveness as we follow Jesus. This is the challenge. Not to be the same as the world, but to be distinctive, being salt and light. If we as Christians, as a church, do not live as distinct, light-bringing disciples, pointing people to Jesus, being the salt of the earth, making the world a better place, and seeking to make disciples of all nations, then the fact is that the church is going to become extinct. Because we will just look the same as the rest of the world. The choice is simple: distinct or extinct. Are we doing as Paul says in Philippians 2? For it is God who works in you to will you to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine as stars in the universe. Shine like stars in the universe. Because of the light of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, we have life. We go from dead to alive, from dry bones, as the Lord showed to Ezekiel in the valley, to living for God with the power of the Holy Spirit within us, to enable us to be the light of the world. As we believe in and follow him, are we distinct? Distinct means recognizably different in nature from something else of a similar type. We must be distinctly different from what we were before we started to follow Jesus, and distinctly different from the world around us who live in darkness. Again, because if we are not, we will become extinct. If you want to know if we are distinct in the world, start by asking these questions. Am I salt and light in this world? In every place that I am placed, am I salt and light? And how salty and how bright am I shining? Because if we are no different from the world, how can we be salt and light? During this last few weeks of being sick, I've realized that I tell lies. Even to Norman. I was going back to the car after picking up Abigail from GB, and as I passed Norman, he asked, you know, how I was. And I said something like, I'm all right, nearly there. And as I got into the car, because Karen was driving, she told me off. Because I wasn't all right, I was nowhere near there. And I said this to others who asked me how I was. It was just a response off the cuff. I realized I need to be honest about my health. And the same is true about our spiritual health. How many of us walk around church and in our lives knowing that we are spiritually a wreck? That we spend no time with God? That we have no prayer life? That we rarely pray? That we read our Bibles the odd time? That we're not serving? We're spiritually a wreck. But we go around giving the impression that, you know, I'm all right. Yes, we believe, but are not actively following. We know that we aren't salt and light. Our lives are not distinct. We are just the same as the rest of the world around us. The challenge of these verses, Matthew 5, 11 to 16, are for everyone here. And if we honestly look at our lives and realize that our lives are not distinct, if we are getting that feeling of a kick in the guts because we are not salt and light, we are not fulfilling what this passage says, could this be the message to us here and now from Ephesians? But when everything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes light is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk. Do not be unwise, but be wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be salt and be light in the world. Let us live the Sermon on the Mount. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you realizing that you sent your Son Jesus to be the light of the world, to bring hope to this world through his sacrifice on the cross. And Lord God, he calls us to repent, to live 100% for you, to turn away from evil and turn to you, to live distinct lives. Lord God, I pray that you will help all of us to take up this challenge of repenting and turning to you and living distinct lives for you. Let us all be salt and light in the places you put us. Let us show the way to you. Let us make the world a better place, whether that be our families. Help us to make our families better. Be our schools, be our universities, be our work, be our communities, be our neighborhoods. The places you put us, Lord God, let us make them better because of you and your love. And Lord God, as we do that, let us bring the light of your hope of Jesus, showing people their need of the cross. Lord God, let our lives cry out to you, that when people see us, they see us distinctly different. And Lord, if we are not, we come to you now and we repent of the things that have been stopping us being distinct for you. Through your Holy Spirit, move in each of our hearts. Show us what we need to change. Show us what we need to do so that we can bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.